Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
Hey, what's going on?
What are you guys up to?
Oh, a little weed, you know.
It's the Weedsman Podcast Nugget.
Zippity what?
Ready to drop the bass? Let's drop the bass.
Whoop-de-doo. What does it all mean?
All the random stuff that didn't fit in Friday's show you'll find here.
Oh.
Okay.
Hey, man. You got a joint?
Put a little bit of reefer ice in on your board.
What'd that mean?
Please, give me like weed, all right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. What
I'm watching a lot of good TV lately.
Oh, yeah? What are you watching?
Netflix. Is killing it, everybody. If you don't know by now, good God, man.
Because I started watching Master of None.
Well, I mean, the Emmy nominations came out the other day, and Netflix is totally, you log in now, it's 91.
Okay. I actually haven't seen the full list. Can we take a look? Can we take a little peek at it and see? 91 just for Netflix,
though. Netflix. Hulu making a splash this year, because The Handmaid's Tale getting a ton. We could start getting into... The list is kind of political this year.
What the fuck is The Handmaid's?
Handmaid's Tale is based on a novel about a future, not too near future, where totalitarian right-wingers take over and decide that there's an elite class and anybody who does anything that is immoral deserves to be subjugated to the elite class and to basically be a slave.
Women are
class.
Around just to have babies.
Sounds
fine with me.
But a major plot point of it is that there's a disease spreading that it causes infertility, and so while there's some girls that are evil because they have black husbands or they're gay or whatever else it is that they think that the elite class thinks
is immoral.
Those
are the two marks of evil, right?
Right. Whatever they think it is that is evil that they're doing, immoral, they are subjugated to be... the women are made to be child bearers, surrogate mothers, through rape because they're slaves. You know, it's not a violent rape, at least depicted in the case of the lead in the story. But
okay.
This is a story about, you know, women who grew up in America and all of a sudden, it seemed like almost overnight, shit turned and now they find themselves enslaved.
It opens, the calendar says November 9th, 2016. No, wait. All right.
So I don't know. It's a really well done story. I mean, they certainly, from what I understand, they have good source material to take from. It's pretty true to the story in the book.
All right. So I got the nominations. Go over the list. Start with drama. I mean, I'm on board right away. Well, I guess they're going in alphabetical order. Better Call Saul. How good was it this year, man?
Oh. Vince Gilligan continues to outdo himself. In my opinion, not only season after season with each show that he does, but this Better Call Saul, I think better than, ready for my hot take?
Oh, here it comes.
It's Breaking Bad. It's better than Breaking Bad.
Whoa.
Hot take.
In the ways that... they handle the way that let's face it, Breaking Bad was so driven by its main character, and no doubt that Saul sets the tone for this show, but the way that
Saul Goodman,
I don't know, I think the way it's the relationships between everyone. I think I'm actually way more fucked up over Saul. With Jimmy's relationship with his brother than I was with Walter White and his wife.
Better Call Saul makes me less anxious than Breaking Bad did. That's the thing. I don't have the blood pressure to watch Breaking Bad.
No.
I don't like getting anxious when I watch TV.
Yeah.
And
Mandy keeps telling me, she's like, if you love this, you would love Breaking Bad. And she's like, you have like 7 seasons and I'm so jealous of you.
Oh.
Okay. No, I got to cram in 6 seasons of Shameless before October.
What else is on the list, though?
The Crown from Netflix.
Don't know it.
It's about the queen in her younger years. Queen Elizabeth. The Handmaid's Tale, Hulu, House of Cards, Stranger Things. I just named four streaming shows in a row, everybody. Yeah, This Is Us from NBC, and then Westworld.
One
what is
network.
This is Us.
I don't know. It's on network. I don't watch it.
It's got Mandy Moore, and
Is it like a period stuff?
It's chick TV.
Set in some time frame.
It's set in like the '70s.
Okay.
This is Hall Women, as portrayed by a beautiful young white pop star.
Well, no, because then there's also Chrissy Metz. Shall we do Google Images?
Please.
Hold on. She's in it. So.
Oh, I don't know who she is. Right on.
She's the chick on Entourage. It's Stop Staring at My Ass. That's all I know her from, really.
I need you to zoom in.
Don't know her then.
All I see is a large woman. I need to see facial feature.
Oh, wow.
Oh, apparently, she lost
a ton of weight. Jesus Christ.
Good for her. She looks good now.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That was a little out of control.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I don't give a fuck. That looks like she's wearing a tent. I'll be the guy that will say it.
Or,
hey, look, she had a problem and she got control of it.
Good.
Hey, listen, I'm pro fat chick. Trust me. But,
pro fat chick.
Hey, chill out, Lesbo. I'm pro fat chick.
Pro Lesbo. Hey, back off.
Comedy series. Atlanta. I have not watched it. Maybe I should. Donald Glover's in it.
I need to watch that.
Wait. Oh, my God. I just realized something.
What?
You already went through the dramas.
Yes.
Where the fuck is The Leftovers?
Yeah,
Sons of bitches?
No mention of Billions.
Wait a minute. Who gets kicked out that House of fucking Cards? Are you fucking kidding me?
Kevin Spacey, man.
I love Kevin Spacey. I love that show.
That's Pedigree.
It is.
How about The Crown?
It is hot trash.
It's the only
trash.
One we've all
it
never heard of.
Fun. But trashy movie show that pales in comparison to a stunning work like The Leftovers. How could...
All right.
It's better than Westworld.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy Westworld. I saw that.
Oh, I liked Westworld.
It was okay for me.
I thought Westworld was fun as fuck.
Comedy?
It was robot cowboys do Game of Thrones.
I liked the movie.
A network making two appearances in this category. It's the same network, though. So then you got Black-ish on ABC. Master of None?
Yeah, I just started watching that.
Fuck yeah.
Modern Family. I watched Modern Family. I think it's a well-written show.
Does it really need to be nominated? I mean, haven't they won enough awards, right? Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they have.
Show favorite, Silicon Valley?
Deservedly.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Did you watch the third, fourth season?
Yeah.
Yes.
I binge-watched that show it came out. That is one that I definitely look forward to.
Mandy and I had that watched more... less than 24 hours after it was out. Like, it came out before it was out 24 hours. We'd seen the whole thing. And Veep.
Veep was amazing.
We've tried to watch Veep. And we put it off. We turned it off halfway through the first episode.
Really?
We're like,
You didn't, well...
We keep circling back, like, should we try this again?
What is Veep?
Veep is...
HBO, Julie Louis-Dreyfus.
Okay. Yeah.
It's got, what was his name in Arrested Development?
Buster?
Yeah, the guy who plays Buster in Arrested Development.
Oh,
that guy.
He's the
it's got Matt Walsh.
I don't know.
He's
the vice president's assistant that follows around with
like it's got
hand sanitizer and whispers people's names into her ear.
So right now, Veep for me
it's got a weird cadence, right?
For me right now, Veep is in that same basket with Children's Hospital. Like, really? According to the cast list, I should love it. But when I watch it, I'm like,
Well, it's,
or at least Children's Hospital is like, I don't get it.
You
like,
know, you
I had, love all these people. I don't get this show. He's trying to appeal to the youngsters.
What was the Netflix show that you were telling me about that you watched
said, oh
that
God,
you were kind
I just
of
said youngsters?
Youngsters.
Wow.
You young mentioned a Netflix show that you were watching that you said was it was all right. It had really good soundtrack.
Oh, My Friends from College.
My Friends from College. Okay, you're. Critique of that was that they were all kind of despicable characters and not very likable.
Yeah.
That's Veep. Like, none of these... There's no hero. There's no... There's not much good. There's not even redeeming moments. I mean, it's very hard to explain. because they'll even they'll constantly swerve out of it. They'll play chicken with like, oh, Selena Meyer, the vice president character that Dreyfus plays. Does anyone call her Dreyfus?
And Richard Dreyfus.
This is because I don't want to even say her first hyphenated name combination.
Louis.
Julia Louis Dreyfus.
Is it Louis or anyone Louise? Calls her
Julia Louis D.
Is it Louis?
Her character is practically irredeemable. Even when you think that she's actually, you know, coming to her senses and having some real emotions, it's for some manipulative purpose. Kind of like Shameless, too, only Shameless, everybody's just dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. They are I'm pretty and I want to start a business, and everyone says I can't.
Right.
And so I did. And
I'm a woman.
And now I don't know what to do. Because how do you business?
Drama actress, we have Viola Davis from How to Get Away with Murder, Claire Foy from The Crown, Elizabeth Moss from The Handmaid's Tale, who Mandy tells me that looks like the female version of me and it wears me out. I don't understand.
Oh, boy. Wow.
Oh, my God.
What? What did I miss? Hold on. Wait a minute. Go rewind.
Mandy tells me that Elizabeth Moss looks like a female
from
me.
Fucking Mad Men. Have you ever seen any Mad Men?
Oh, my God,
the secretary
yes.
that God works her way up to the company.
With that Bob haircut and the brown hair? Oh, my God, you do now. Wow, hey.
Well, now I can't enjoy her.
What's up, Mikey B?
Michael.
It's like on Father's Day, Mandy tells me, hey, your sister looks like Alyssa Milano. I'm like, don't ruin this for me.
Yeah.
Don't do this to me. She's like, doesn't she? I'm like, I'm not acknowledging this. You can't ruin this for me.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, I can't.
Carrie Russell can't. From The Americans, which I've been watching with Mandy. That's pretty...
I watched the first season. I got to get back into it. Yeah.
Yeah, I need to watch that.
I like
too.
The premise. Evan Rachel Wood from Westworld.
Love she her. Is amazing.
And Robin Wright from
You didn't
House
even
of
like
Cards.
Westworld that much, and you said
she was probably the best part of that whole
right,
thing.
Right. Okay. And House of Cards, okay show. It's a very fun show. But Robin Wright is like standout in it. I didn't think that she could out chew Kevin Spacey's scenery, but she manages to, especially this season.
Well, drama actor.
Spoiler alert.
Sterling K. Brown from This Is Us. Anthony Hopkins from Westworld. Bob Odenkirk.
He was always good.
From Better Call Saul. Matthew Reese from The Americans. Liev Schreiber from Larry Donovan. Kevin Spacey from House of Cards. And Milo Ventimiglia from This Is Us. So two people from This Is Us. And the drama actor. Comedy actor.
I'd have to vote for Better Call Saul on that
yeah.
one.
Yeah. Comedy actor, you got Anthony Anderson from Blackish. Aziz picking up a nomination for Master of None.
I think I'm going to have to go with him.
I don't know, because look at the next. Yeah. Zach Galifianakis, Baskets.
Baskets was fun,
you seem
but
to
no
be a
way.
Baskets fan.
Baskets is really funny, but no.
Donald Glover from Atlanta. William H. Macy. From Shameless, and Jeffrey Tambor from Transparent.
I haven't seen it.
Comedy actress, Pamela Alden from Better Things. Tracy Ellis Ross from Blackish. Jane Fonda from Grace and Frankie. Lily Tomlin from I just started watching that show. That shit is good.
Yeah, I gotta watch that.
I'm three episodes in, and I bet you we'll be done by tonight. Allison Janney from Mom. Ellie Kemper from The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
That's gotta be it.
And Julia Louis.
No,
Julie Louis D.
Ellie and what's his name? Randy. Randy. I'm blanking on his name. I'm sorry.
Do we want to do like?
Just tell me.
Limited series. Aziz.
Well, thank you. Aziz. Light.
Aziz.
Because Big Little Lies, Fargo, Feud, Bette and Joan, The Night of, and Genius, all picked up nods.
Fargo.
Nah.
Limited series actor Riz Ahmed from The Night of, Benedict Cumberbatch from Benedict Sherlock, The Lying Detective, De Niro for
Not
The Wizard
for
of Lies,
one. Not for that one.
Ewan McGregor for Fargo, Jeffrey Rush from Genius.
Haven't seen the Ewan's.
John Turturro from The Night of.
John Turturro is always great, but I don't think Night of was his best performance. I think the kid was better in it, but I don't think either of them were better than. Well, just what I've seen and heard, I haven't actually watched the most recent Fargo season. How was that? Big fan. I'm a huge fan of one and two.
Okay. Heard Ewan McGregor's. Oh.
And hearing an interview with him too about his he plays twin brothers, and it, like that that Tom Hardy movie. Did you see that one about the gangsters?
Yeah, that was
Robbie
good.
Cray? Yeah, it sounds like that type of shit.
That could be good.
And yeah, I can't wait to see that. I'm waiting for it to come out on Hulu, which I'm sure it will eventually because I know they wrapped up this season. But one was really good. Two was fucking phenomenal.
Oh, I'll have to check it out.
With Kirsten Dunst in it.
No, I definitely have to check it out.
She was so amazing.
So hot.
And then limited series actress. There's two shows that pretty much dominated. Big Little Lies, both Nicole Kidman and Reese Witherspoon. Mm-hmm. Jessica Lange and Susan Sarandon, both for Feud, Bette and Joan. And you got Carrie Coon from Fargo and Felicity Huffman from American Crime.
Cume.
Supporting actor in a drama series, John Lithgow from The Crown, Jonathan Banks, Better Call Saul, Mandy Patinkin from Homeland, Michael Kelly, House of Cards, David Harbour, Stranger Things, Ron Cephas Jones, This Is Us, Jeffrey Wright, Westworld, and...
I like David Harbour for that. He did a great job.
We'll get through
I think he was like the one who was like... I mean, everybody held their shit together except for Winona. But her job was to be the unhinged woman stereotype.
Right.
See, supporting actress, drama series, Ann Dowd, The Handmaid's Tale, Samira Wiley, The Handmaid's Tale, Crazy Eyes from Orange is the New Black, Uzo Aduba, Millie Bobby Brown from Stranger Things, Chrissy Metz from This Is Us, Thandie Newton from Westworld, supporting actor in a comedy series, Alec Baldwin.
Wait, I just want to say about the woman's category there. If you know anything about acting... None of those actors compared to the one whose name I can't pronounce. What was that again? From Orange is the New Black?
Uzo Aduba.
Uzo Aduba.
Uzo Aduba. I shouldn't say I can't pronounce it. I just don't know how to repeat it.
Feels awkward to me.
But regardless.
She seemed after a drink.
She's an
you ever drink star. Uzo?
On, oh, man. Hell yeah.
She's amazing. She is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Supporting actor in a comedy series, Alec Baldwin.
He's always
Guessing that's the Academy's fuck you to Trump is nominating him. Louis Anderson in Baskets, Ty Burrell, Modern Family. He plays Phil.
I'd say Louis Anderson if you're going for comedy.
Titus Burgess from Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh, shit, that's Titus. Right. Oh, God.
And then Veep, Tony Hale and Matt Walsh.
Veep.
He's good, too, but Titus, man. Titus.
Titus.
Supporting actress in a comedy series, Kate... Kate McKinnon, Vanessa Bayer, and Leslie Jones, all from Saturday Night Live. Anna Chomsky from Veep. Moving on from Sookie Stackhouse.
Sookie.
No, Anna Chomsky's good.
No, that wasn't... No, so that's Anna not, Paquin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
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 Judith Light.
False alarm.
Judith Light. Angela.
Yeah.
From Transparent. And Catherine Hahn from Transparent.
Okay, yeah.
I didn't know that.
And here, right here, we'll stop after this, maybe we'll find writing. But Variety Talk Series, Full Frontal with Samantha Bee, Jimmy Kimmel Live, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, The Late Late Show with James Corden, Real Time with Bill Maher, and The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. That is a strong category this year,
that
man.
That is a very strong category. I bet you could guess who my vote is, though.
John Oliver.
Fuck yeah.
Hey, John Oliver.
I agree with
seriously, John that is... And to be... To be a favorite amongst that group, I think is saying
there's
something.
There's three shows on there I'm a regular watcher of, and two that I'm a casual watcher of.
Just saying that
of.
My opinion actually matters to anyone, but in that respect, yeah, none of them are slouches.
Like Full Frontal, John Oliver and Bill Maher are all appointment viewing with me and Mandy. Jimmy Kimmel and Colbert are a casual. I'll pop in on them. Like I DVR them, but I don't watch them. I don't make sure to Oh, I gotta watch him every day. Like when I'm out of shit to watch. Oh, it was on Colbert yesterday. That kind of shit. And then this is writing. Just find writing. Hey, Variety sketch series. So Billy on the Street.
So no Leftovers, no Billionaires.
Documentary Now, Drunk History, Portlandia, Saturday Night Live.
Didn't
apparently Tracy Ullman has a show again.
Hmm.
It says Tracy Ullman's show, HBO. Really? I just want to find writing. Yeah, writing for a comedy series, Donald Glover for Atlanta, Stephen Glover for Atlanta, Aziz Ansari and Lena Waithe for The Master of None, Alec Berg for Silicon Valley, Billy Kimball and David Mandel for Veep. Writing for drama series, John Weisberg and Joel Fields for The Americans, Gordon Smith for Better Call Saul, Peter Morgan for The Crown, Bruce Miller, The Handmaid's Tale, the Duffer Brothers for Stranger Things, and Lisa Joy and Jonathan Nolan for Westworld. Mike, this must be a wrong... This website must be wrong, because Billions is not on that list.
Yeah, it should be.
They had a really strong season this year, man. It's only season two.
It's a shame they weren't nominated, but I think I would still go for Better Call Saul.
Yeah. But two, I also brought it up. If you look at a lot of the things on this list, a little political this year, Billions is about rich white guys. Like, I think that's what's hurting it. It's about a guy runs a hedge fund.
Right.
Yeah.
After 9/11.
I'd have to go for writing on Master of None, too, because that was probably its standout quality of that show, even though Veep is really strong. And, you know, the actor who plays Mike McClintock on there, the press secretary, he was Spicer before Spicer. And he's, you know this guy because he's been in, like, Coen Brothers movies before. Like, he was one of the guys in Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou.
Which one?
I did not enjoy that movie as much as I thought.
I thought it was okay.
We were supposed to.
Did you ever enjoy reading, like, Homer's Odyssey? Or, like,
Greek, I had to read it twice.
Greek mythology. So
I did.
Shit. I mean, that's the story.
It's a good story.
John Goodman is the Cyclops.
Yeah.
Or the Minotaur. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the Minotaur.
Now, the movie that I did like were the... Because remember... Because there was another movie that had kind of a similar hype about it with the music. Because I remember The Brother Where Art Thou was what it was all about, bluegrass and shit.
Yeah, that's a one that was about
early mountain music.
Folk music recently. Inside Llewellyn Davis or Llewellyn Davis.
Yeah, that was a really good one.
That movie
too.
Was good as fuck.
Yeah.
And it had Justin Timberlake.
I still
that's
haven't
seen
it. Like, there's so much shit out there. I can't believe I still haven't seen that fucking
movie.
That
is a guy. The other day I was thinking about it because he's on those stupid commercials with Christopher Walken.
Kylo Ren was
yeah, but
Adam Driver
yeah,
but Justin Timberlake is one of those people that it's like I eventually just acquiesce to him like Tom Brady. It's like God damn it, at some point you can't argue with the results.
Right,
you're a good singer, you're a good dancer, you're decent at writing songs. Like you're a likable person, you're a good actor. Son of a bitch, whatever.
Yeah. I hate you.
It's just things.
Like, God damn it, do
like
I respect
said, he's on
you.
Those commercials right now with Christopher Walken for that juice.
He never says
a word, and he's funny as fuck.
Right. Yeah.
I think I should say like Prince a little bit. What you think?
He's doing that.
That's awesome.
You know, he's got some 12-inch booty remix or whatever it would be.
Keep in mind, this is like the mid-80s. No one's doing this shit.
And a 45 of Mr. Postman, and he's just fucking layering them.
That's sweet.
He's kind of like touching the record. You can see he's skirting on the outside of the not the record, but the platter, where the bumps are that show you if it's in sync properly when they shine under the light. And you know the little dots.
I don't.
Oh. You've never seen the side of a turntable where it has dots or lines on it?
I think. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, Mike's got those.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
I was unaware.
Now that's
Dr. J's was bagging on this when we were interviewing.
I don't want to say anything bad
that's
about
awesome.
Anything that I was involved in, but that shit was corny.
Yeah, this is 1984.
So that shit was corny as fuck.
He does call it corny,
right? And what that guy there in the gold jacket was like, I don't know what the fucking problem is. We were all getting Jerry curls and having orgies and having fun, you know. He made it sound like Dre was like. He was too stuck up to party. He just wanted to make serious music.
That's Dre.
Yep. I mean, compared to DJs these days, no. I mean, they're doing insane shit with that.
Right.
But...
Hey, he did just enough to get him where he's at now.
Yeah.
Oh, right. He knew where his strengths were. He even talks about in the documentary, he's like, I'm not strongest as an artist.
Hey, you know, while we're on it, I had this thought. I wanted to bounce this
off. He's better behind the board. not an artist, but you know what I mean. Like,
see what you think.
Yes.
Is the Marshall Mathers LP the apex of his production?
Of Dre's production?
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, it's close.
I don't know. I feel like I'm not objective enough to say.
Yeah, I would agree with myself as that.
Like,
well.
Marshall, between Marshall Mathers and 2001, both of the hundreds of spins between right. those two. So many times listening to them.
Because after Watch What Defy Was, I've been given the Marshall Mathers LP.
As much as
spins.
I know that Dre was integral to making that album and helping out a lot with Eminem's career, it doesn't feel synonymous to me. And I mean, no, because I feel like even though he makes appearance on this album, he's all over his own album, obviously. Yeah. He has to. But to me, that's like he had something that he wanted to say, right? And he realized that he had to be the one to say that in that situation. So that kind of feels more like something that Dre put his everything into. And this is the same quality, but I don't
know. But just too, like, just because all the little things, like, because you got all these little punch-in vocals with Eminem in the left channel, right channel.
Yeah, I'm not denying. Like
this beat alone, this is not a traditional 2-4 beat.
Right. I'm sure the sessions look very different. You know, not to knock anything off of 2001, but part of what I love about it is it's really simple elements, right? It's a loop or two and some keys and
strings.
It's a pretty straightforward verse chorus structure, right? I mean, set aside any kind of gangster rap image or anything like that. It's a fucking R&B record. This is shit that you can put on to like make babies to, drink beers to.
Definitely can make babies to it.
Yeah, definitely making babies to it. I'll make babies to that record. I may have. I may have.
There you go.
Oh.
No telling. I mean, it's either that or Mazzy Star.
Fade.
Yeah.
Fade.
Yeah. Oh, who am I kidding?
Right.
They're named Belle and Sebastian.
Yeah.
It's so. Baby making music, people. No, I love that he put this album, that he put out the instrumental version of this album.
Yeah.
He's like, here you go, DJs of the world.
And NPR said,
I'll make your job a lot easier.
Thank you. Hey, you just made our editors very happy.
Yeah.
They can just ride this as a bed.
I love it.
Yeah. Beat.
This is probably one. He's just like crowning achievements right here.
Yeah.
Do you know what's happening to me out there? Violet Brown told me to shove this record up my ass.
Yeah.
That's what I was playing when he's during that whole thing.
I remember.
Oh, man.
I apologize. I have to pee really bad.
Pee break. A little smoking music.
Smoke it up now, please.
Yeah, I'm good.
What?
Smoke these trees, Mikey B. That's all I got.
No, I'm talking about the music.
Oh. Still same old B with pillow key.
You people need to stop that.
Oh my god.
That is a curse. Curse of life.
Now see, Mikey B doesn't rhyme with Dre. But like all the things you were doing rhymed with Mikey B.
Yep. I was trying not to do it.
Motherfucker, exactly. Forgot about B. Do that.
I've heard that so many times.
And I'm in the front row.
Wait.
Everybody know that's Big Dick B.
I'd be in the front row hammered.
As much as this is the track off the album, it's fucking amazing.
What do you say?
Between that and what's the kind of tribute song he does at the end of the album?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of this song at all.
Really?
You don't like this one?
I hate this song.
But
damn.
Without lyrics? Come on.
La, la, la,
oh,
la.
No. That, yeah, without the lyrics, that's fine. But
back in these motherfuckers.
I've heard this song, well, the regular version of that song, so many times. I just want to rip my eyes out of my sockets.
Yes. Huh. This is the one, like, there's not many rap songs that'll make me cry at times when I'm vulnerable.
Damn.
But shit.
Noted. Aaron to cry on a podcast.
That's all right. He's a man.
I don't think that could happen.
Grown ass man. He can do whatever
but
he wants.
Get misty.
Get undry.
Undry.
Shit on the floor.
Shit on the floor. Yeah. Mr. Bulldogs.
I ruined it.
Mr. Bulldogs.
Let him go. He's awesome.
Yeah.
What else? Did you guys hear that the Chinese invented teleportation?
Nice.
Yeah. Which is, okay.
I bet, I'm telling you.
What? What do you got?
I bet you someone at the airlines made a call to someone in the auto industry who made a call to law enforcement, made a call to an oil company. He's like, we can't have this. This ends all of our careers.
Will be shot dead.
Well, that, you know, you're not completely. Maybe you only have half a tinfoil hat.
Yeah.
Maybe it's only you have a regular hat that's tinfoil lined.
That makes more sense.
I got lining in my.
Yeah, you don't look that weird.
Right, like in Better Call Saul with the suit.
Yeah, there you go, like Michael McKean.
Yeah. Wait, did he get a nomination?
I think somewhere.
Robbed!
No, I really do think he's in there somewhere.
Yeah, he probably was. I couldn't keep track. No, but so the Chinese invented teleportation, right? You saw the story, Chris.
Yes. Photons teleported.
Photons.
To space.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right. So this is a very interesting thing that they did. It is not teleportation strictly, although who knows what it could lead to. And kind of at the core of the problem with the way media reports on anything based in science. Because quantum entanglement doesn't make a good headline. I mean, that's what this really is. It'd
be an awesome band name.
Yeah, so it would be.
They have a photon on Earth and a photon in space. And, like, was it a satellite? I forget. They don't have anything on the ISS. Or anything like that. It must be a satellite. And so what they did is they controlled the photon on Earth and made the photon in space do the same thing at the exact same second. So particles like photons have spins. There's up to 6 spins, but you can use a up and down as just an on and off switch.
What?
Right.
They
sent this is the concept of quantum computing. What was it?
A packet of information from Tibet to a satellite in orbit.
Right, okay. So, what were we talking about? Quantum entanglement.
Yes.
Right.
They beamed the quantum state of a photon information about how it is polarized into orbit.
Right. So how it's polarized means that it spins what they call in one direction, which would be down. And the particle that's in space, the photon, is spinning down. And they change the spin on the photon on Earth to an up spin, right? Or, in essence, making a 1 a 0. And having the same thing happen in the photon at the same immediate time. So, no time lag either. Not only a direct relationship between the two particles that are thousands of miles away, but an immediate, as if they move as one.
Yes, because the article says that the team also set a record in teleportation.
Right. So, if you find out what the relationship actually is between all these particles and figure out how to fully manipulate that, then it stands to reason almost that you could just, I mean, with conservation of mass and energy laws that can't be broken, you would have to move your particles to another place, but it wouldn't be like moving. But it would, I guess, ultimately, isn't it? Because what would you experience and what would people around you experience? You just fucking teleported. Like, you started to disappear from one area and appear in another.
Yeah.
Damn. That'd be cool.
Actually, I mean, it wouldn't even be like Star Trek because this is an instantaneous thing. So that's, you'd want to move all of them at once, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you would have to have that material there, right? So you can't just go anywhere.
I'm sorry. I think
in their instance, I mean, you could send a box full of raw materials for making a human being into space, theoretically, and then jump into that material that instantaneously forms into what is you. And who knows if any of your memories or anything are going to come out the other side, or if it's just going to be, if you're just going to be a man,
you or a copy of you,
man, baby in space,
man, baby in space.
Ba-ba-ba.
So yeah,
I can't believe you found this Google Music.
I love it.
The immediate result of this is going to be a big leap in, well, I mean, we're already approaching quantum computing, which is the same kind of concept. You take a steady part, a particle that you can control in some fashion, and you can make it either upspin or downspin. It's the same as making a logic gate for a computer, a yes or no, an on or off. Spits out of the sequences of all in binary, the one and ones and zeros, right? If you can make something say yes or no, then you can compute with it. And on a quantum level, on a particle level, like photons, just think about the density of what you could put together and fit into the chip size of your regular home computer now. You'd have, I don't even know, like... billions, trillions more times storage, processing power. I mean, you wouldn't even have storage, right? Everything would just be a cloud because it would be so cheap.
Giant cloud.
Right. You wouldn't have any kind of storage. It would just be all supercomputing, RAM, and processor in a practically microscopic device, say, which now gets you into the person. But teleportation, that's interesting. But that's more like, this is what's going to lead, not to teleportation, I don't think is a long-term headline on this. History will show, and in 30 years, when we're still doing this podcast, I'm going to stand by this.
80.
Wow.
That this technology is not about, it's not about teleportation, it's about telepathy. It's about reading people's minds, about communicating via thought. Or ultimately, person-to-person Wi-Fi.
Whoa.
Because think about it.
Whoa.
I just described a path where you get to transdermal quantum computing technology.
Oh, my God.
Aaron. With all cloud storage that you would beam in, right? So if you can get it from the cloud, I mean, why not just go peer-to-peer, right? Somebody has some information that you want, you send it peer-to-peer instead of having to go through a cloud and you upload and they download. That takes longer. And with this ability to teleport information, the transfer of information is instantaneous. You say, I have a little spot on my little storage, my quantum storage that is in my subdermal unit, and they beam the information over and all the little photon bits or whatever it may be in there all start spinning a certain way, up or down, one or zero. And you get that information instantaneously. You're instantly reading other people's thoughts. You're plucking information out of their brain. It's fucking telepathy. It's not teleportation, only in so much that telepathy might be teleportation of information.
So, just invest in information technology, is what I'm hearing from you.
There you go.
No, quantum computing, I mean, ultimately. That's you don't have anything... You can't do anything more with this technology unless you get the quantum computing part out of the way. Because just to further explore what the quantum world means, we need quantum computers. It's almost like an actual catch-22, unlike most times that phrase is used.
Damn.
That was like a nerdgasm.
It was.
That felt good.
Yeah, you got it out.
Do you need a towel?
I'm not going to lie. I didn't understand one word you just said.
Yeah, you lost me a while ago. I was like
I was trying to keep up.
Long story short, Mikey B, just don't watch Rick and Morty.
Yeah, you won't be interested.
I'm good. I have no way to watch it, so I'm good.
You don't have a TV?
You don't own a screen of any kind.
He's got a phone. You're looking at your phone.
You don't have access to YouTube.
Do you want
to
know something
about me? There's an app where you can watch it for free.
I am the most stupid person when it comes to shit like that.
You're a Luddite. A Luddite is a person who shuns technology.
Yeah, if he's a Luddite, he wouldn't have that big old smartphone.
Well, even Luddites like shiny things. They're still human.
Damn. God damn.
What do you want him to be? One of those flip phone freaks that you still see out there?
Yes.
I was one of those when I came back from California.
My dad was until the phone company went like, listen, the phone you have can no longer process the network anymore.
My dad had a flip phone for the longest time, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
That's fine. They just want to make phone calls anyway. But then they go, I want to send you this picture.
Ow!
And step one, buy a new phone.
Yeah.
Step two, call me when you get your new phone.
Yeah.
Right.
Or better yet, just text me with your new phone.
If you like this show, please tell a friend. Please follow us on Twitter and like and share us on Facebook by searching for Christopher Media. You can subscribe to all ChristopherMedia.net shows for free on ChristopherMedia.net. Please make sure to rate and comment on all your favorite Christopher Media shows. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net and thank you for listening.
Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.